What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 24th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We got to talk about Trevor Rogers. And are you going to be adding a freelance Trev to the team? That's a really good graphic, by the way, by Justin Paradis, doing like LinkedIn. As Trevor Rogers had this 2.1 inning game. That was very disappointing. He had a really tough third inning. And I saw the skills that were interesting. I see this all the time. There are games where guys get touched up, and I go, man, that's kind of annoying because I think they pitched well. I'm still going to be in on this. And it doesn't always work out. And with Trevor Rogers, we haven't really seen him do well at all. So, I mean, save, of course, for the first game. But the first game that he had was a little bit more just fastballs and some changeups, but it wasn't really the full package. That game looked like it. But I was like, all right, let's maybe go for it against the Rangers. We'll see. We didn't expect 8 innings of shutout ball. 3 innings, 0 earned runs, and 3 innings. Oh, my gosh. I'm just going to edit this one out. We didn't expect 8 innings of shutout ball. 8 innings, 3 earned runs. We didn't expect 8 innings of shutout ball. 8 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks, but just 8 whiffs. 26% CSW, 101 pitches. You need to have that lower CSW typically in order to go 100 pitches for 8 innings. That means you need to be efficient for outs when those strikes turn into outs as opposed to whiffs, right? Okay, so those skills that Rogers showed in this one was a 94-mile-per-hour four-seamer that was up for the most part, which is good. And then you had changeups that were really good and low. You also had some sliders going backdoor and sweepers as well. Just a couple. I think there were 2 of them. One was really nice for a strikeout. But this was also an exclusive right-handed lineup that the Rangers sent to the plate, which I think plays into Trevor Rogers' skill set, right? It is a changeup focus, and that means that that changeup is going to do better against right-handers than it is left-handers. So there is something to think about for that moving forward with Trevor Rogers, but this is 94. It's not 92, 93 that we saw before in Miami. It's better command of the changeup than we've seen, and the slider, I think, is the pitch to really watch for. As long as he's doing the same things with the four-seamer and the changeup up and down, which is great, that slider just needs to be either a called strike pitch against right-handers and then become that down-in-glove side pitch against left-handers. We didn't really see, of course, that yesterday because we didn't see a single lefty, but I am curious to see how he attacks the Rays and if that does translate. But exciting things, I think you should pick him up for that. It's not a must-add, but it is something that could very well work out moving forward. You have Eduardo Rodriguez against the White Sox doing exactly what he needed to do. Got the win. 6 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, and 2 walks. Great. Oh, and 10 strikeouts. Yes, thank you so much, Cry Sox. You are the best. Yeah, there is blaming on the White Sox, but he gets the Marlins next. So we're just going to keep going with Eduardo Rodriguez. This actually wasn't, by the way, the same changeup that I saw last time. It was a little bit worse. And it was just four-seamers dominating. 6 of these strikeouts happened on a 92-mile-per-hour fastball. He only had 11 whiffs for 10 strikeouts, which kind of shows that he froze a lot of these guys with that heater. Oh, man. Braxton Ashcraft opened for the Pirates in this bullpen game. It was 3 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. 3 whiffs on 35 pitches. Not overwhelming. But what he does have is 96-97 on an empty velocity fastball. That is all of the metrics under the hood, the attack angle, the vert, the extension, average. So it's fast, but it isn't anything else to make it tough, which means that guys can catch up to this. However, the 91-92 mile per hour slider, I'm doing that with air quotes right now because it's kind of really a cutter. It has a little more aggressive movement than usual, but it isn't a 0-0 slider. It is above that, right? It is a little bit more height and horizontal. Towards the four-seamer, not arms glove side, right? So it's not really that major of a slider, but that was located well. It was generally away. Some of it was down. He had 2 strikeouts, one of them on that slider. And I like that he focuses on sinkers inside to right-handers with that slider away. And then he has a four-seamer that he throws generally inside also to left-handers and then has some curves with some sliders to those left-handers. And then, has a good approach against right-handers. That's cool. I think this is something that can develop over time for Braxton Ashcraft, but I don't really think he's going to get that much of an opportunity this year. And I'm curious how this plays out if he does become a staple of the rotation for 2026, or maybe even post-deadline, maybe there's some more injuries. Bubba Chandler is already up I hope. And we'll see what happens then if Braxton gets more of an opportunity. But right now, we don't need to do anything. He really does. I do want to amplify the fact that the 96-97 might be 95, even maybe 94, if he's not going for just three innings. And it's not doing enough with its attack angle, everything else, right? So that does become a very susceptible fastball very quickly if it's at 94, 95, which means he really needs to do a ton out of that slider, which also could fall in velocity down to 89 and 90, which makes it still very good, but just not the same. So just get that in your head of, hey, this is not a phenomenal trajectory moving forward for Ashcraft, but there are tools that if he can expand upon it, that would make me excited. You have Nick Lodolo against the Yankees in Great American Ballpark, going 4.1 innings of 100 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. I'm thrilled with this. I'm upset that it's 4.1 innings, and even in my roundup, I didn't acknowledge that, and I should have, but I think he pitched great. I will generally take this, even though it's not longer. I wish he had like two more outs, fine. But we had a good curveball, 74% strikes to both left-handers and right-handers, and a 39% CSW. We had extra tick on the velocity, 94-95. Changeups are really good, dotted down away to right-handers. This is Lodolo, and I like this, and it's just very good. And I think the schedule should get better, I hope. But he's really just been a very solid pitcher, and I think we're going to see a lot of just, hey, cool, good games, and then some of those great ones are really going to tip the scales in his favor. I have Matthew Liberatore, another left-hander who has done better than expected this season. He got the win against the Cubs. He would have gotten the gold star if not for Trevor Rogers. And 7 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. The changeup added 2 inches of horizontal ride, which is really good. We love that. But he located kind of in the middle, which isn't fine. And the four-seamer was up generally. The curveball was generally down for a low strike rate, but tempting. And you have some sliders in the mix too, but the thing about Liberatore is he doesn't do anything exceptionally well, and that also includes his command. It's all good. It's nothing that really gets me excited, but that gives him an opportunity for success like it did here, and that's cool, and sometimes that's all you need is just a lefty that does things well across the board, and that can make you a Holly for the year. Yeah, he's going to have some bad games with us, but generally it should be more helpful than good, and of course, that defense behind him in St. Louis does wonders for him. That's a really good thing, and it's why Cardinals pitchers always do slightly better than you expect them to. Spencer Schwellenbach against the Mets got the win, 7 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks, just 5 whiffs on 89 pitches, 0 whiffs on 34 curves, sliders, and cutters combined. That is startling, to say the least. Oh my gosh, just a 36% curveball strike rate, which is also very surprising because he located it really well down in the zone, actually just underneath the zone to lefties constantly, and not away too. It was like down middle and down inside. They just didn't bite. I also really like the fact that Schwellenbach turned to sinkers against right-handers. 55% usage against right-handers. So good. He lined it right on the inside edge. Yes, there was a bad one. Fine. But man, I dig that. But what's going on with the slider and the curve? Where are my whiffs? Oh, sure, 7 over 10 foul balls on the cutter. I'll take that. That's 70% strikes innately. That's good. I think it was 80% overall with a called strike, or maybe it was a ball in play. But I just, what's going on? We just need those whiffs for this to be a 7-inning, 10-strikeout game. You're like right there. Brian Wu against the Twins, 6 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. I took away the ace is going to ace label before this one and the one previously. He's just been amazing since, so that's great. 18 whiffs, 35% CSW. This is away from the tee, which is also cool. We're cool with Brian Wu. Thank you so much. Mitchell Parker against the Padres, 6 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? If you are not in a quality start league, or if you actually, yeah, I mean, you got to win in a quality start. Fine. It's very much a dusty donut because it's bad ratios and just one strikeout. And no, Mitchell Parker, I was so excited to see what would happen. He did not have the Blake Snell blueprint. That is, it wasn't four seamers in the upper third, or really the upper half, and then curveballs in the bottom half. He tried. He failed. But I'm glad he was able to survive and get himself a win. Paul Blackburn against Atlanta. I just can't believe that he's still starting for them. I hope this is the last one. 4.2 innings of 3 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. They might go 6-man with Manaea and Montas, right? Montas is going tonight to Manaea in a week from yesterday, so I believe it would be Monday. Maybe it's actually from today. Like, why would you want Blackburn still in there? You also have Blade Tidwell. You have Nolan McLean. You have Jonah Tong. You have Brandon Sproat. Like, just, you don't need Blackburn, do you? Why? Why would you choose this? Jack Ahanowitz against the Red Sox. He's the jack of one trade for a sinker. However, you can't be the jack of one trade if you don't have that trade. It was a sub 50% strike rate on that sinker. Oh my gosh, we got 4 whiffs on it. Actually, 5 whiffs on it. And 5 whiffs on the changeup as well. The changeup was way better than I normally see against lefties. It was down and away. That was the pitch that made him do anything. But it's 5 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 1 strike. And how am I supposed to butter my bread with that? I mean, terrible. Against the Red Sox on the road. Yeah, we are not going after Jack Ahanowitz. But what's so interesting to me is I see moments where this works with him. I can get it. I can grasp it. But it's just not all there. So, fine. Chad Patrick had an interesting start. So did Walker Buehler. We'll talk about that. Shane Smith and Bailey Ober, Ben Brown, all those guys. They won yesterday. We'll talk about them all after this break. Chad Patrick against the Pirates. 5 innings of 4 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. Here's the thing. The cutter, a little bit too much over the plate. You know, he also got 3 strikeouts on the sinker and 4 in his 4-seamers. That's cool, but these were a lot of pitches over the middle of the plate. And the Pirates certainly did their things. It got to say, though, this is like a whole slew of the best matchups ever for Brewers pitchers. We have the Pirates here, and then Patrick is going to get Rocky Road, and then the Marlins, and then the Nationals. So, all right, I guess we're going to roll out Chad Patrick for Rocky Road, and probably then the Marlins, and then probably the Nationals. It's a cutter. That's his main thing. That should be okay against the Nats. Yep. All right, I guess so, Chad, you win this time. Please find a breaking ball that works or something that is not a cutter or a fastball. That'd be great. Alan Wynan started for the Yankees, and the only time he's going to start, 4.1 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 1 strikeout. How am I going to butter my bread with that? Look, it should be Marcus Stroman moving forward, and we just move on. I don't want to start Marcus Stroman at all against the Jays, Mets, and Cubs. Steven Kolek against the Nationals. We didn't expect much here at all. And we didn't get much. 4.1 innings of 4 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He's really a slider-focused arm without a good 4-seamer. And yeah, it's just you're not going to do well against lefties. He did really spot that heater, though. It was pristine upstairs. He didn't allow a single hit on it. 65% strikes. But the slider was just like very much in the zone. And he didn't have anything else. So there you go. Patrick Corbin against the Orioles. You know, it's funny. I said he didn't allow a single game of more than 3 earned runs all year. And what does Corbin do? 2 straight games of 4 earned runs or 5 earned runs, right? 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. He did go Blake Snell blueprint with sinkers and sliders, but it's a sinker that should not be thrown upstairs at all. It has drop. It's 10 inches of vert, right? That is not good. It is a sub-zero height-adjusted VA. Yes, is that cold? And what are you doing? This is helping batters. You throw this upstairs, that helps them. It's easy to hit. Oh, no. You throw that down. It's supposed to be down. You have Walker Buehler against the Angels. 4 innings of 5 earned runs, 3 hits, and 7 walks, and 2 hit batters, and 3 Ks of 3 whiffs. Yeah, we are... Oh, gosh. Look, you got to break them down before you can build them back up, right? That's all I got. Hopefully Walker Buehler figures this out in time. Shane Smith against the Diamondbacks. 2 innings, 5 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Is this the regression of Shane Smith? And now that the Diamondbacks also have Corbin Carroll on the IL, there's some problems with Josh Naylor. There's Moreno, who's hurt. Maybe Suarez got hit by pitch and might be out. Like, actually, the Diamondbacks moving forward might not be so scary. Ketel Marte, at least, is, of course, still there. But in this one, Shane Smith had just command across the board. And at very least, I'm excited that his development of his stamina is good. That is, he's essentially 96 throughout starts, not dipping to 93 or so, and not averaging 94. He's averaging just under 96. Great. Love that. But you have to now develop the command of everything. And he's not there, especially with the breakers. That said, he now gets not the Dodgers. He was going to initially. It looks like he's not getting them now. He's going to get the Giants on Sunday. And then it's at Colorado and then Cleveland and then Pittsburgh. So I guess we're going to hold on and hope that he corrects us. I mean, yes, he got a little bit fortunate before, but it was still working. So I guess we're going to keep holding on to Shane Smith for now. But honestly, if he's like the last one, you're wondering if you should drop him or not. I think you can. Bailey Ober, you can certainly drop too. 7 innings of 7 runs, 7 hits, and 7 strikeouts. I wish it were 7 walks, just for whatever. But 0 walks, all right, is not lucky number 7s, I guess. And 3 home runs are really the problem. One of them was an 0-2 changeup to Julio Rodriguez that was out of the zone and down middle in. And I see that, and all I think to myself is, oh, cool, these guys are not afraid of anything that he's throwing. That used to be a hero changeup set up by a better four-seamer upstairs, and his slider and cutter are not doing what they did last year in 2024 either. So he's able to not be afraid of the fastball and be like, cool, I'm going to aim for like something slower. Julio Rodriguez, if it's down, that means it's going to be the changeup, and he followed it through and hit it out. Really annoying, right? So Bailey Ober pitching through injury as well. He's already mentioned that his hip is bothering him, his knee is bothering him. It's not worth it. It is a really strange line. I don't think I've ever seen that before. 7 innings of 7 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. I think that's the most unique pitching line I've ever seen. And, you know, there's a score, Agami, but I feel like a pitching line, Agami, is also something that I'm very curious about because that's so unique. Ben Brown against the Cardinals. 5 innings, 8 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. He breaks the Wasker Inoa rule. Did you not know that one? It's where you can't survive with just one elite breaking ball and a bad fastball. And this, you're essentially 1-2. That doesn't work. That's what Wasker Inoa did. I got really obsessed with his slider, but his fastball wasn't good. Even though it was hard, it was at 96, 97. It just was a horrific height-adjusted VAA and vert and the whole thing. It was just bad. So it was empty velocity. Ben Brown is empty velocity too. And also, this was a game where his curveball was not the destroyer of worlds. That was bad. Four-seamer location was bad. This is a hipster. Headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. You do not need to hold on to Ben Brown. Yes, there will be some games that he's good. It's like Taj Bradley. It's the same kind of thing. I don't want to do this with Ben Brown. He might not even be in the rotation with Imanaga coming back. It's possible he's the one that goes and he turns into the reliever that he should because he never developed that proper third pitch. I know the kick change. Sure. Not the answer. He needed a strike pitch. That's not the four-seamer. So yeah, I'm not in, and you shouldn't be either. All right, that is it for today. If you're watching tonight, it's Chase Burns is making his MLB debut, also opposite Carlos Rodon, which is going to be a phenomenal game. It's going to be in Great American Ballpark. It's going to go live on playback.tv/pitcherlist at 7 p.m. Eastern time tonight. You better be there. It's going to be great. I'm going to be watching this whole thing. I'm going to give you my live take of Chase Burns, all that stuff. So come join us. And also tomorrow at 2 p.m., this is on Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, I'm going to be hosting an episode of The Craft with Ian Osiris on playback.tv/pitcherlist as we watch Paul Skeens versus Jacob Mizorowski. It is another live broadcast podcast. Cannot wait for that one either. That's going to be so much fun. We're going to have special guests, all that fun stuff too. So make sure you're there, playback.tv/pitchers. Tomorrow's is the free game. So you don't even need MLB.tv. You will be able to watch that game. So it's just completely free. Go watch baseball with us tomorrow. Tonight, I hope it's the free game of the day. That'd be really cool. Should be. It's Chase Burns' MLB debut. Everyone should be able to watch that. So come on by. It's going to be awesome. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.